Once again, the scripture reading will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches.
Good morning. Today I want to talk to you about times when it appears like the sky is falling, like the walls are closing in, like we've fallen and can't get up. I want to talk to you about when it seems like it's the end of the world. I want to explain to you how to bear hardship with joy. And this is something that I've had to work on nonstop. You know, we can relate to lots of Bible characters in their struggles, and, you know, as was read, Paul had seen numerous struggles. You know, everyone's had a bad day. You know, we look at Paul and all of those sufferings. You know, he was without sleep, and, you know, many people have had children, and they know what that's like, and, you know, people tell me I get hangry. I know what it's like not to eat for a while, and you get upset. It's hard. And you have to endure through those things. If you'll turn with me to Job 1 at verse 13. We'll take a look at Job. At verse 13. Now on the day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them. And the Sabians attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone escaped to tell you." On top of that, we know some time had passed and Satan had revisited God. And if you turn just over to Job 2 at verse 7 and 8, it says, "Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." Job saw all sorts of affliction and it was very hard. I could only imagine. I know that, you know, I've suffered from poison ivy. I'm very allergic. And I definitely didn't have it from the sole of my foot to the crown of my head. But I could think, if I could just tear my skin off right now, I would feel so much better. And it takes a long time to go away. And it, you know, wears on you day after day. You know, you don't sleep good. You don't You don't feel good. You don't, your days aren't good. You don't produce good work. It's hard to focus on anything else. And you know, extreme hardship is easy to see, but often we're not as physically taxed the same way as we are mentally burdened. You know, we often don't see these extreme biblical circumstances, and it's hard to see sometimes. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 2 at verse 11. It reads, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit which is that of the man which is in him?" You know, you speak to people all the time and you have no idea what's on their mind. You don't know what kind of burden they're suffering from, what's weighing them down. And the biblical example that comes to my mind is Abraham and Sarah. And Don has been preaching on Abraham, and we know that Sarah was barren. And I know lots of couples that have tried for years and seen specialists, undergo rigorous testing, and even had surgeries just to have a child. And now I believe here that children are viewed much differently. You know, in other places or even in prior generations, especially at the time of Sarah and Abraham, children were much different. Lots of things have changed from the role that men and women play, being working mothers, to the education system. Now children go off to school, from job markets and financial status of families. But for Abraham and Sarah, a child would become Abraham's heir. He would receive all of Abraham's earthly possessions, that he would continue Abraham's legacy. And this was the pride of Sarah. Women were expected to produce children for their family, and it was a large part of their life's purpose to raise children. It was joy to them. It was their pride. They took great honor in this, and I know that still exists today, and it would be very hard. You know, I've seen many of these couples. I could only imagine that love is cold, that there's strain, that it makes normal things that you'd share together not as fun. That the person you rely on, your helpmate, you know, it's hard to talk to them, and their presence is difficult. Just proximity to them is hard. You know, personal problems like this are shameful, and you can't talk about them openly. You know, you don't want to air out all your problems to the public. It's very hard. You want to keep it quiet, and you're afraid of people whispering about these things. I could only imagine how this would have felt for her and for Abraham. Other than relation problems that plague us mentally, I'd like to look at even status or material problems. A biblical example that comes to my mind is Solomon. You know, he struggled like many of us today with material things and status. Even with the wisdom of God, it was hard for him to discern what would make one's life complete. If you turn to 2 Chronicles 1 at verse 9. "Now, O Lord God, your promise to my father David is fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, Because you had this in mind and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, nor have you even asked for long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge, that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you have possessed, nor those who will come after you. We see that God, even though he asked for wisdom and knowledge, God also gave him wealth, possession, and honor. And we know from Solomon's life that he sought out those things. And we can see the conclusion of all that time and effort if we turn to Ecclesiastes 1 at verse 11. I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes 1 at verse 1. Ecclesiastes 1 at 1. The word of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in all his work which is under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Also the sun rises and the sun sets, and hastening to its place, it rises there again. Blowing toward the south, then turning toward the north, the wind continues swirling along, and on its circular courses the wind returns. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they flow again. All things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see this, it is new? Already it has existed for ages, which were before us. There is no remembrance of earlier things, and also of latter things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still. We see that he didn't find value in anything. And when we read about Solomon in the Bible, you know, he tried to seek things out for physical pleasure. He looked to his possessions. He was trying to establish in himself his status among nations, among people. And we know that he was very rich. He was very great. He had all these things, but he could never have enough to be satisfied. And oftentimes we seek out these things and find it's not enough for us. And I know that it hurts to come up short. I've wasted time. I've scrapped projects. I've soaked up money in things that just fall apart. You know, we've all turned in a paper that fails. We've put so much stock in something that has just let us down. We've been told that what we have to offer is just not enough. All that we could gain doesn't fulfill us. I find it's very interesting that along with the wisdom that Solomon asked for, he was given these things, riches, wealth, and honor, and status. We had read that he only asked for wisdom and knowledge. And if you turn to Proverbs 3 at verse 13. Proverbs Proverbs 3 at verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain is better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. This shows here that with wisdom comes other things. You know, long life is in wisdom's right hand, and in her left are riches and honor. And I was always curious why God provided those things, though he just asked for wisdom and knowledge. And we see that those are products of wisdom. And we see that the fulfillment in verse 21 and 22 were in the wisdom. That's where Solomon had his fulfillment, in godly wisdom. But when you set your mind on the lesser, it won't take care of the greater. If you set your mind on wisdom, the lesser things will take care of themselves. Life and riches and honor and all those things, we don't focus on the lesser. We focus on the more important, the wisdom, and everything else will fall into place. And just like all these examples, we know what it's like to lose, to struggle, to have problems. As we saw in Solomon, sometimes we lose ourselves, our mental fortitude. There's always more to be had, whether it's money, and we know what happens when we aim to tear down our barns and build bigger. Whether it's men or women, you know, sometimes someone might say, I'm more attractive or successful than someone else, but they got the girl or they got the guy, and you know, why can't I have a love like that or something like of that nature? You know, we lose ourselves. You know, we know, just like Job, what it's like to lose others, whether it's family or just loved ones. It's something that we can't fix, that we'll never get back. It's something that we don't have control of. It's constant struggle that we just can't control. And we know what it's like to lose to others. You know, competition is mixed up often, and it appears that way with Sarah and Hagar. I couldn't imagine watching someone else share affection for someone you love. You know, when you love someone, you want to give them whatever it is that they desire. And Sarah wanted to give Abraham a child, and she seemingly couldn't. And someone else came in and did it so easily and just gave them what they want. And that would tear me apart, knowing that I couldn't give the person I love something that they wanted so bad, and watching someone else beat me to say, you know, I know that that's vague and without context, but these things just all made all these biblical characters feel like they couldn't win. Like they had lost hope at some point, and it created hostility and disappointment and anger. And this was all the hardships that they went through, and we can learn from this. And I never want anyone as a Christian or as a person to reach this point, and I want, more importantly, us as Christians to radiate joy. And I've always been fond of the idea that it is what you make it. And I believe with perspective and godly perspective and self-control, we can prevail in all these situations. And in hardship, to exhibit joy, I believe the answer is explained here in the description of love. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, we'll start at verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, it is not provoked, it does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We see here with the description of love that it could solve all of these problems that our biblical examples had suffered from. I believe with patience, Sarah would have never resorted to Hagar. That she fell into the trap of desperate times call for desperate measures. You know, I've done this. You know, I rely on something that's high risk with a low rate of success to scramble, to get out of a situation. You know, you're quick to act, quick to answer when patience is key. Just because you feel like something's bearing down on you that you have to make quick and decisive moves. But patience is part of having love, and it's key to exhibiting joy in hardship. We see that love is not self-seeking. You know, Solomon sought out things that were brought to himself, to honor, to glory, to wealth, to pleasure. And we know that that all led to his own emptiness. He was not fulfilled by that. And we see with Job and Paul how they endured. We know that love is just always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It continues. It's not run down. It's not beaten. It's not defeated. It doesn't lose hope. That they continued in love. So when we're backed into a corner, we need to be patient and humble, quiet. We need to think of others and don't place the blame. We need to be slow to anger and have hope. You know, keeping all that in perspective, I know that we can't just explode with love when we haven't slept in days, we've lost our way, we've been embarrassed. You know, when we're low, we rely on the love of God and others. That's why when we're not distressed, we should always be smiling. We need to give out hugs, fist bumps, send food, buy presents, go do a deed, go see someone, spend some time with them, spread love as you can, you know. And then you have to know that others are relying on that love that you can give them. We also have to rely on God's love. As it was read in 1 Corinthians 13, love rejoices with truth. So whether you're high or low, we need to be studying the Bible. Truth is the key to joy, its fulfillment, and we know that God is love. To know God is to know love. I don't want anyone to think differently that, you know, without God, there is no fullness of joy and fullness of love. And I want you to know that apart from what happens whenever the Lord comes back, where you are, you know, when you die, who you know or where you think the soul goes, I want you to set all those thoughts aside. I want you to forget about your age, because some think they're too young, that they might be sentenced as a minor, or they're not yet accountable, or someone's too old that they might, you know, I've attended too long. There's no way I could miss heaven. I want to set all those things apart and just look at truth and know that apart from God, there is no joy, there is no love. I want you to know true joy and true love, and I think that it summarizes it very well in Romans 2 at verse 5. Romans 2 at verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepented heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, for the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearer of the law who is justified before God, but it is the doer of the law that will be justified. We see that it is in truth that we are justified, that we have sinned, and that there are none exempt from judgment. And at verse 16, it says, On the day when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. We know that he knows every factor, unbiased, good or bad, that he knows how we have acted, whether we've done good for so long and fallen away, or whether we have lived immoral lives but have come to know the truth and acted properly. The truth is simple and laid out for his plan of salvation, that we could know love and we could rely on his word, that we could know the truth. In Romans 10 at verse 17, it reads, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We know that to know truth, to know joy, to know love, to endure hardship, we have to hear God's word. We have to hear to know. If you turn with me to Acts 8 at verse 37. It reads, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Here we see the Ethiopian eunuch believed. What did he believe? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he verbally confessed that. We are commanded not only to hear the word, but to believe in it. And once we have believed, we have to make that good confession. If you turn to Matthew 10 at verse 32. Matthew 10:32 reads, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. We're commanded to confess him. And then we must repent of previous living. We have to change our lives. We can't continue down the same course. If you turn to Acts 2 at verse 38, it says, Peter said to them, repent, each one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to have a repentant heart. You have to want the change. You have to know that you can't wallow in hardship. You can't wallow in sinfulness. You have to change and live holy and upright lives. And then you must be baptized. And I'm going to take a two-part approach to this. If you turn to Matthew 28 at verse 18, that's Matthew 28 at verse 18. It gives the Great Commission. And Jesus himself said, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. A lot of times I'm questioned about, is baptism a commandment? Here in verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And in the previous verse, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Not only does he command his apostles to go do this, to create disciples by baptizing them, but you'd have to infer that by giving the commandment to go baptize someone, he is giving disciples, future disciples, the commandment to be baptized. And we know that with that being a commandment, I want to look at what that commandment does for us. If you turn to Acts 2 at verse 41. Acts 2 at 41 reads, so then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls. Going down to verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. We see that those being baptized were added, and those being added were those who were saved. We know that baptism puts us into Christ. And from that point, we read in Revelation 2:10 that we have to be living faithfully unto death. We read in Romans 2 at verse 13 that it's not just the hearer, but the doer that is justified. If you have followed God's commandments but faltered in full service to God, that labor has been in vain. You need to repent and pray God, and he is faithful and just to forgive you. I am urging you to use the wisdom of God that he is giving you, the truth in the Bible, and to use the love of God once you know what love is, that he gave his son, and his son was willing to go to the cross and to shed his blood. He gave all that love while we were yet sinners, that we could overcome the unfathomable hardship that we have laid before ourselves with our sin. That we were heading to a place without love and joy and hardship that we could definitely not endure. That he changed that course for us. That we can obey his word. We can know it and obey it. And we could be made right. And we could avoid that. I would ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.